How do you feel about the idea of a constellation of satellite-mounted mirrors in space designed to reflect sunlight onto planet Earth? Well, regardless of what you think, the company Reflect Orbital has applied to America's FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, to launch a test satellite as the first part of its plan to do just that, offering, as it describes it, sunlight on demand. They're hoping to launch in the middle of 2026. And as you can tell from this promo video, they're pretty pumped about it.
This gigantic solar farm doesn't make any power at night, but we can change that. With control over sunlight, solar energy can power the world forever. The Russians launched a reflector satellite in the 1990s, and it worked. But we've come a long way since then. With simple satellites in the right constellation shining on existing solar farms, we can produce cheap electricity.
It went from 58 to 120 watts.
Dude, it's literally working! Woo! Let there be light!
But some astronomers are much less keen. One of them is Michael Brown, Associate Professor of Astronomy at Monash University. He outlined his concerns in The Conversation recently about what he calls Reflect Orbital's light pollution by design. And Professor Brown joins us now. Welcome to Sunday Extra.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
First up, Michael, is that video correct that reflector satellites have been used successfully before?
Depends what your criterion for success is. So back in the 20th century, there was a reflector satellite and it did reflect light, but it was pretty damn dim, very faint. And there was statements that they could see a spot on the Earth from the reflector satellite, but I haven't seen really any hard data to show how many watts were received on Earth, etc. So it's a fairly low threshold for success so far.
Right, yeah. And certainly what Reflect Orbital is hoping to do is on a very different, really massive industrial scale. Could you just explain for us at the outset, I know you're not the spokesperson for Reflect Orbital, but what's the theory of what they're trying to do?
So it's a little bit like shining light off a watch face or off a mirror onto a wall, right? And perhaps you've seen in movies, you know, people getting people's attention by reflecting sunlight off a mirror or something to a ship or a helicopter. So it's that kind of thing, but scaled up hugely. So instead of reflecting light over meters or hundreds of meters, they're proposing to have satellites in orbit where they can be in the sunlight and then reflecting the light down hundreds of kilometers to solar farms. And the issues that arise with Reflect Orbital are scaling something up that works on meter scales up to hundreds of kilometers. Things start to get pretty tricky at that point.
Yes, and I suppose it's worth stressing that the video and the demonstration that we heard there was a test involving a hot air balloon and one panel being reflected down. So they're very far from space. So far, we'll come to your concerns about what happens if Reflect Orbital's dreams do come true. But first, let's talk about feasibility, Michael. Are they actually dreaming? I mean, could this be a viable way of making solar farms more efficient and become a better source of carbon neutral energy?
I have some serious doubts. So one of the things with their balloon test, for instance, where they did get significant power on the ground is they were using a reflector about 2.5 meters across at a distance of about 250 meters. So if you were to scale that up to space, let's say 250 kilometers, which is actually pretty nearby, then you'd need a reflector 2.5 kilometers across to get the same result. 750 kilometers is probably a more reasonable number. That's 7.5 kilometers across. And that's like just absolutely vast. Whereas in comparison, their test satellite is only going to be 18 meters across. So they're off by many orders of magnitude to make this work in any feasible way.
So far, as is often the case with startup companies, the details of exactly what they're proposing to do and how aren't particularly fulsome in the public sphere, at least. From what you've seen, do they have a realistic sense of how many satellites, how wide the reflector surface would need to be to make this effective?
It's very hard to tell what they know. As you've said, they've not released a lot into the public domain, but the calculations are relatively easy to do because they're planning to use flat reflectors, basically mylar rolled up and then stretched out into a flat surface. And they're saying that they're going to perhaps have, in the end, 54-meter satellites, so a bit bigger than the 18-meter test satellite. And they're suggesting 4,000 initially, but that's probably not going to be enough. So myself and Matt Kenworthy at Leiden University have sort of run through the numbers, which are pretty basic numbers to run through because it's flat mirrors and optics. And to light up one solar farm at 20% of the midday sun would require about 3,000 satellites. And that would only work for a few minutes at a time. You know, ultimately, it's just much easier to have batteries.
Right.
You know, yes. Rather than having a solar farm and trying to direct sunlight to it from space, just bung some batteries on it and, you know, have it store the midday sun. Because one of the things that's, you know, most bizarre with all of this is their promise is 20% of the midday sun. So it's sort of limping along a little bit compared to the, you know, what it could do at midday. So, you know, it seems much more easier to
let the sun get here by itself and then capture it and store it more efficiently.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 4,000 satellites won't run a single solar farm. So, and that's what they're planning for 2030. 250,000 satellites is going to be able to illuminate about 80 locations at any given time. That's not a lot of solar farms going at once. And it'll be less than that because it can't penetrate clouds. Sometimes the satellites are going to be over the ocean, remote areas. So there's a lot of numbers that seem quite odd in this proposal.
Although they do seem to be thinking big. I think you've mentioned that in some interviews, some of the personnel from Reflect Orbital have talked about putting up 250,000 satellites. That's a massive number.
Yeah, that number is absolutely huge. And to put some perspective on it, that is more than all the satellites that have ever been launched and all the space junk that's ever been tracked. So it's an absolutely huge number of satellites. And also it's a huge number of huge satellites. So they're big targets for space junk, etc. So there's a certain risk involved with putting that number of large, physically large satellites in orbits that are already pretty busy.
Well, it may well be then that feasibility is the best protection against what's being proposed, but you've got broader concerns, Michael. If Reflect Orbital or some other player was actually successful in doing something like this, I think you used the phrase light pollution by design. Could you explain for us what you see the practical effects on Earth of this sort of technology would be?
Yeah, so even these individual test satellites or the production satellites are still going to be brighter than the moon. And so that presents a number of problems. It presents a problem for ecology, you know, various animals that navigate using the moon. If you've got, you know, temporary moons appearing in the sky. So that's definitely a significant problem. The beams of light are going to sweep across from one location to another. So you're going to get these flashes of light in the sky, which is going to be a distraction to pilots, drivers, etc. Particularly if there's, say, hundreds of these moving at once, it's going to be quite a disconcerting display. And then for anyone with powerful binoculars or a telescope, there's a risk that if you were to look at one of these satellites and the sunlit side of them, it's effectively as bright as, or very similar to, the brightness of the surface of the sun. And astronomers generally recommend that you do not look at the surface of the sun with a telescope. This is a big one for us. So there's a risk of permanent eye damage there. So there's a lot of risks with all of this. And while feasibility will possibly be the ultimate roadblock to all of this, I think we've seen in quite a few occasions tech companies pushing ahead with stuff, even though it's not necessarily feasible in the long term, and getting a fair way along before the brakes get put on.
Yeah, you mentioned the analogy before of, you know, the watch reflection onto the wall or something like that. That made me think, and I'm not professing to be even close to a scientist on this, but that made me think about, you know, people who use magnifying glasses to try and burn things from paper to bugs. Would there be serious safety concerns with this sort of thing as well?
Fortunately, no. And it's partly to do with the big scale of it. So they're projecting light over huge distances. And because of the huge distances involved, they can't actually focus the light effectively. And so one of the other issues that they have is that the beam of light that comes from these satellites is about 7 kilometers across, give or take. So if they were to actually successfully light up a particular solar farm, well, it also lights up the neighbors and everyone else sort of over this 7-kilometer patch. So there's a lot of concerns there with unwanted light, including, you know, residential areas, et cetera. There's some real sort of serious impacts here.
And I know your specialty is astronomy, not space law, Michael, but it sort of seems strange in a way that a company in America can just make an application to the FCC and do something that would have potentially significant consequences for the entire planet. But is that the state of play with putting satellites in the sky at the moment?
It does seem to be the case, and it's certainly the case with these large constellations, which are primarily coming out of America, but you know, there will be Chinese constellations as well. And yeah, there's a whole lot of regulatory issues that are possibly not being addressed effectively. And there's obviously, with a lot more and more satellites going up, there's this idea of the Kessler syndrome, that you could have a runaway collisions of satellites. And that's a real concern with this particular constellation, because the satellites are deliberately so physically large.
We've obviously focused on one particular company with their very hyped promo video. Are you aware of other players, be they commercial or government, that are looking at this sort of reflector technology as a possible way of accessing more or more efficient solar energy?
I don't know of any other companies that are running with this at the moment, but it's an idea that's sort of come up time and time again over the past sort of, 30 to 50 years of the space age. And I think one of the things that means that it doesn't die is it's sort of such a lovely, conceptually simple idea that people kind of latch onto it. And it, in some cases, it's hard to let go of the idea, even though the hard numbers mean that the feasibility of it is somewhat dubious. And I think, you know, perhaps that is a play in this particular case.
Yes, so your conversation article asked, can it work and would we want it to? I take it from what you're saying, the answers are probably not and no.
Yeah, indeed. Although, you know, it's going to be a bit of a worry about how far they do proceed before no becomes the answer. And, you know, they have got venture capital funding, several million dollars worth. So how far they go with this is yet to be seen.
Professor Michael Brown, thank you so much for speaking with us on Sunday Extra.
No, it's been a pleasure.
Michael is Associate Professor of Astronomy at Monash University, and he recently wrote the article in The Conversation, a US startup plans to deliver sunlight on demand after dark. Can it work and would we want it to?
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.